847 13 till 9. Everybody come on in, settle down, have a seat. This is Internet Security / Data Breach 101. I'm the graduate assistant, Tommy Tucker, on WWL. Professor Alex Hammerstone joins us now, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec. Professor, how are you?
I'm doing quite well. How about yourself?
I'm okay. I thought it'd be a good idea to have an Internet Security Data Breach 101 every now and then, because there are new scams out there every day, I'm sure, as you and I. Matter of fact, let me ask you that, Alex Hammerstone. As you and I speak right now, unbeknownst to us or whomever it is that's being breached, there is a data breach occurring. Would you bet on that? Would you say that's accurate?
I would say yes, and especially because a lot of times the data breaches are ongoing and last for months, and so they tend to overlap, and it's pretty common that they're happening, but also that attackers are out there kind of day in and day out plying their trade and, you know, getting our information and getting into our accounts.
You're a well-read guy. You do this for a living. I know this is not what you came on to talk about. May or may not be in your wheelhouse, but when it comes to presidential election, election integrity and so forth, do you have any concerns or not? I mean, this is your life's work, what you do, you know, for a living.
So I think the question is probably specific to a lot of the electronic things. That's what we tend to get asked about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certainly these systems are reviewed. I've got friends that have worked on boards of elections, and, you know, certainly at least on a local level, you know, if they're all kind of bipartisan. They take their work very seriously. But, you know, certainly it dominates the news, right? I mean, it's something that everybody talks about. And I think, you know, one thing to note, you have to remember that if you want to cause chaos in the United States, which is the goal of, you know, a lot of individuals and even nations, you don't actually need to hack the election or change results. You just need to create the appearance that it's possible, or create rumors that it happened, and then kind of let people fight amongst themselves. That's really, you know, the easiest way to cause chaos.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about if for whatever reason, and I got a stack, I'm on a desk, Alex, I got to be honest, of notices about data breaches from this one or that one or the other one, who I thought had the keys of the kingdom, come to find out they didn't, and they lost the keys years ago. I've done nothing about any of this. Should I?
So I will tell you, you are in good company, if I can be considered good company. Because, you know, both my wife and I, you know, got data breaches notifications in the mail this week, and I got one last week. Well, because think about it, right? You don't actually have your data.
Nope.
Think about your healthcare data or your shopping data or whatever it is. You know, it's not under your mattress. It's not something that you print out and you can put in the safe. Somebody else has it. And what we see time and time again, it's not just the company with whom you shared that data. They tend to share it with other companies, right? Because they use service providers and so on and so forth. And so it's not uncommon that you get these breach notifications, and it's not even a company that you've ever directly engaged with, right? It's a company that, some retailer or health organization that you use, that company uses this other company, and they had a breach. So it's tough because, you know, if you're listening right now, it's pretty much a guarantee that you've been involved in at least one data breach, you know, probably more over the years. So our data is largely out there. So what I would say is, I think it's important to think about the types of data that get breached. Speaking as a consumer, you know, not as a professional that works with companies, but as a consumer, if your credit card is breached, you know, the credit card company takes care of it. They send out a new one. You don't, you know, generally have any liability. And you move on with your life. But when you start to talk about very personal things like your health care or, information about your emails or things like that, that's when I think we should all be more concerned if those types of things are out there.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back. I'm getting some questions here from the text line. First steps you should take if you find out you're part of a data breach, and I'm going to share this with you. I was cutting the grass a couple of weeks ago, got a text alert about one of them that happened 5 years ago, and it's like, I'm not going to stop what I'm doing and go do whatever it is you want me to do. It happened 5 years ago, and as you just said, Alex, it's out there. 851, 9 till 9, more we come back. Any questions about internet security, scams, et cetera, 504-260-1870. We'll pass them along to Alex Hammerstone when we come back. Traffic now, WWL. 856, 857, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Alex Hammerstone, our guest, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec. So, Alex, if somebody is concerned about a data breach, what What should they do? What can they do? I think internet security is something that somebody invented to just kind of let them sleep at night, because I think everything's already out there. Am I wrong in that?
I think a lot of it's out there. And so certainly when you think about things like names and addresses, those are certainly out there. Even for most of us, social security numbers at this point have been involved in breaches, and those are pretty widely available. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those are certainly something to know, right? But when it comes to, you know, being involved in a data breach, the thing is that I think we're all involved in so many of them that, you know, kind of the tips are more general, right? They're just things that we should be doing every day. And, you know, one of them is, if you are concerned, you know, certainly freeze your credit. You know, that's something that you can do. You keep people from kind of opening accounts in your name. If you're not regularly, you know, seeking credit, it's not that much of an inconvenience. But also, you know, ensuring that you're using multi-factor authentication or two-factor authentication. So we're all familiar with that, with those codes that are sent to us when we go to log in. So somebody at least needs that extra piece of information if they already have your username and your password.
Refresher on that, Alex, if you will, for the people that are not familiar with two-factor authentication. They might be doing it and not even realize what it is.
Absolutely. So the most common, you know, form that most people are familiar with are the text messages, right? So you go to log into your email account, and you put in your username, and you put in your password, and then it says, you know, we're going to send you a code to your phone, usually. They send that code to your phone, and then you have to enter that code to log in. There are other ways to kind of have multi-factor or two-factor authentication, but the text messaging is really the most common one. So take advantage of that anytime you can, right? Make it more difficult for a hacker or an attacker. That's extremely important. But also things like, you know, I hate to say use common sense, because it implies that we're blaming victims, you know, who have these things happen to them. But really, when you talk to people that fall victim of a scam, it's extremely common they'll tell you that something fell off, right? Mm-hmm. But scammers, you know, they're very good at what they do, and they'll use a sense of urgency, and people fall for it. So if something feels off, just wait, right? Stop what you're doing and maybe do some research or wait a half an hour. You know, nobody should ever be asking you for your you know, passwords. Nobody should ever be asking you for bank account information. You know, things that feel like common sense, again, you know, the IRS will never ask you to pay your tax bill with gift cards. That's just not how they do business. So things like that, you know, kind of staying aware.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate your time and your insight as always. Alex Hammerstone, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec. And it's from time immemorial, there's no free lunch. And if it seems too good to be true, 99.9% of the times, it's not. We'll take a break, come back, talk about LSU and the Saints. Bobby Hebert is going to join us.